It's Chuck Bunnell and Julie Hayden again. It's Chuck and Julie show, the two straight up. It's a warm day out there.
Party Friday.
It's a beautiful day for a Party Friday.
That's right. You know, a lot of stuff going on today. We're going to have Patrick Neville for the Weekly Minority Report when we get him on. Casper Stockham, candidate for CD7. And I
to react to Biden's remarks.
He and I are texting back and forth. And then this is pretty cool. At 3:30 Denver time, we're going to be talking to John O'Connor. He was the attorney for the Watergate's deep throat and has a book called Postgate. Want to get his take on the whole Obamagate stuff going on. But, you know, we can start off with, I think this is interesting. If folks who listen to our show may be aware of this, I know we have a lot of people who like Colorado.
Well, why don't you tell us who our sponsors are?
Oh, really? Thank you, Chuck. It's Party Friday. I'm already rolling. ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. It's a website, a blog site we check every day. They really do keep their finger on the pulse of things, especially important coming up here because the legislature goes back in session next week. And this is one of the spots where we can, one of the places where you can really find out what's going on. Okay, we got Casper.
And it's also, they got a great story on the groups that are already calling for tax hikes to bail them out. So you want to read that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one of the things going on today, I was on the phone earlier with Randy Corbin. You know, want to promote his show 9 to noon tomorrow because he's going to have a lot more information. But he did indeed today file the lawsuit on behalf of CNC Cafe, claiming that the government, Polis, has, number one, no right to shut him down in the first place, and number two, no right to suspend their license indefinitely. It's just an outrage. Colorado Freedom Force all over the place today is promoting a bunch of restaurants that are going to open up over the weekend. According to the Facebook post, there was a big meeting yesterday. I talked to somebody who was at the meeting and they said, yeah, there were dozens of restaurant owners there wanting to know what are rights, what are the legal ramifications, all of that kind of thing. And I think
that must have been interesting since there are no rules these days.
Well, exactly.
What are our rights? Well,
you have none.
You have none and you live in a police state.
So just go from there. Exactly. And I think it's going to be, what we're hearing though is that a lot of restaurants are going to be opening up and basically saying to Polis, we're going to open up. I heard there's one in Parker cleverly waiting until the health department closes today. That was smart. They don't want their names out quite yet, I think
wander downtown.
But we'll be keeping you up to speed because I think it is so important that we support these businesses. I mean, can you imagine your restaurant, you open up, you're putting everything on the line and then no one comes in, right? I think we really need to support all of these.
Well, Polis said, you know, some may open up by middle of next week, end of next week, under what, you know, weird dictates he and the staff have come up with.
Exactly. And the problem is we've been hearing from a lot of restaurant owners and business owners saying that the rules are just ridiculous. The rules make it so that you can't open up, right? We had Robert from At Cheers up here in Northland was telling us he's got, you know, a pool table and darts, and you can't play pool or darts, which, again, seems if you can stand in line at a pot shop, seems to me you can safely play pool, right?
Wear gloves.
And then I saw another thing that apparently this new order that they're putting together to let restaurants open up on maybe Monday does not seem to include breweries or tap rooms, right? So why can you buy a beer at a restaurant? Exactly. It's just ridiculous. What do you think, though, Chuck? And until we get Patrick, we can open up the phones, 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I think it's interesting. Trump today said the CDC has changed its rules and now considers churches and houses of worship essential.
Yeah, that was interesting, and there were some questions at Kayleigh McEnany's press conference. The reporter is saying, I think it's okay if you pray, but going to church? No, right. Can't stand that. It's ridiculous, and I hope there are underground church services all over the state, kind of going back to the first century AD in Rome or something. Maybe we can go to catacombs and praise God, you know? I mean,
well, what is your take, Chuck? So Trump says that he will get the federal government involved if the states try to close down churches. What, pardon the pun here, but what trumps what there?
Who knows?
Okay.
you're in a time in which, you know, the rules don't apply. It's what some judge somewhere says, and until he's overturned by another judge elsewhere. And there's never been a time in which the governor can say, I don't like those election rules. I know. And
I'm just going to make up my own.
Make up my own. You don't need one signature. No, you don't need to do that. No, in fact, just we'll check off the Democrat candidates you need.
Well,
ahead of time. And is that allowed? You kind of go, well, that shouldn't be, but who knows?
No, I mean, you should be able to just close down a business. This too, by the way, Polis did take time today. One thing that another executive order that he's issuing is he is now prohibiting Colorado agencies from cooperating with federal immigration enforcement laws. Now, what on earth does that mean? So does that mean
gives them more time to arrest us?
Well, that's right. They need to. They've got to clear out law enforcement because they got all those restaurant owners and people wandering around without masks that they have to arrest. To me, that is just the outrage. That so Polis, in all of this time, right? The one of the biggest and most important things they. Bash the budget. They're cutting billions from K-12 education. We got a lot of stuff going on here in Colorado. And what? One of the most important things he has to do is to make sure that we don't enforce our state or our federal immigration laws.
We want to enforce whatever dictates he comes up with any other day in the Department of Health and all the other a part of the police state, but they don't want to,
Well, I mean, what kind of crazy upside down world are we living in where the governor of Colorado is literally threatening to put restaurant owners in jail?
Well, church.
We're releasing murderers from jail so then they can go kill other people, and that's all okay.
Then we release them after that.
And then in the meantime, we're not going to allow federal agencies or Colorado agencies to help enforce immigration laws. It's like, how can you do that? You can, is the thing, just like you said.
Right. It's kind of like being in the old Soviet Union. Well, can they do that? Well, yeah.
Yes, they can. You know, I think it's looking like we're not going to get Patrick. Hopefully we'll have Casper on at like 3:15.
Where's Patrick?
Well, he might be busy. They go back. What we wanted to talk to him about is they go back to session, I think, Tuesday, next week, unless the Democrats, of course, move it again. It looks like right now they got a lot of budget things, but, a couple other things on the books. So I think they do need to, I'm hoping, and you're right, they don't have any power, but I'm hoping one of the things they can start to address is limiting Polis's power. At the very least, limit it.
They're not going to do that.
I know, but I'm hoping. This is my wish list.
Well, maybe they'll give you $1 million, too. I mean, maybe. It's possible. We want to give Julie $1 million. Okay. No, they're not going to limit Polis's power. They're the same political party. They just don't do that. I mean, you just wouldn't do it. And they're not going to, so.
Do you think they can talk about it? I know, Chuck, you put such a damper on when you have an idea, and you're like, they're not going to do it.
Well, can they talk about it? Well, probably not, because, who controls the agenda for the one?
Well, there is
the
a lot. There are.
And the
There
the
are
Senate
questions
president.
Out there is, can you introduce new bills at this time? Do they have,
well,
have
already late status,
been introduced? I mean,
late status bill, but you have to get permission to do that. So.
From who? The Democrats.
Yeah, the Democrats.
I mean, the whole thing is just like outrageous, really. Yeah, here, and the Democrats, I think this is true. They want to exacerbate the problem so they can keep their own jobs. I think that's absolutely true. In the meantime, we talked about this. Let's talk about the effects on businesses. They want to increase unemployment taxes. So they order businesses to put their employees on unemployment, right? And then they now are going to increase the unemployment taxes because
people
went on unemployment.
But if you didn't fire your employees, they plan to penalize you particularly because you're clearly an asshole. And so it's amazing. And I don't know whether it's just my own feelings or it, but anecdotally, as I kind of go around and wander around outside and talk to people, people seem to be getting more and more exacerbated with the government, with the regulatory, the whole stupid scheme of the whole thing.
Well, it is. I would say that too, because, the other day I'll tell this story was I stopped by a liquor store in Federal Heights. So I'm going to give them promotion. They were at 104th and Federal, little liquor store there by the Safeway. And I saw the guy who owns it didn't have a mask on. So I thought, okay, good. I'm not going to put on my stupid mask. So I went in, bought a bottle of wine, came out, and I was leaving. He said, thank you for not wearing a mask. He didn't have one on. He said, these are the stupidest things. They're not healthy. They're not good for us. And he said, thank you for not wearing a mask. And I said, I will be back here. I don't usually go there.
Drive across town.
Exactly. So it's a little liquor store, 104th and Federal, by the Safeway. And they were doing, and actually I have to say, I have noticed in some of the smaller stores,
now all those people freed from having to hunt down illegal aliens, murdering
Well, that's true.
Try to hunt out.
all the people without masks. But again, you know, I drove by and there seemed to be a lot more stores open today than there were last time. A lot of the, they still got, I was outside of this one big discount store and there was a guy sitting there and I guess he's got to try to count how many people can go in. And you could just see it was hot. This guy was just not into it, right? It's right. You know, I mean, that's just ridiculous. I think you're right, Chuck. I think people are getting tired of it. I was talking with somebody else, a restaurant owner, who says, how on earth, how can you eat at a restaurant? You have to keep taking your mask on and off. That's just ludicrous.
Get food in the mask.
And not only that, I'm going to be you and I, right? So we sit here like this, right? But if we go to a restaurant,
we
got to wear a mask. So, hey, we got Barney online too. That's what he has to say. Hey, Barney.
He'll give us
some Chuck and Julie. First up, you don't have to worry. I'm never going to cuss on your show. I know it sounds like I'm going to, but I'm not.
Okay.
And I was going to tell you, if you keep wearing your mask, I'm going to start dressing up like the Boy Wonder. So, you know, with them little tighties on it. And we know what Batman did with the Boy Wonder. I think we all know what the Boy Wonder
That was unfortunate, wasn't it?
But did you guys hear what the Colorado Health Department did to the United States Postal Service?
They got closed down.
Yes.
No delivery, goddamn mail, rain or shine, but not during a during a health thing. No.
Yeah, but we're gonna order you to shut down. You know, I hate the feds. I really would like to go after them, but you know what? Sorry, you little. By the way, I think people like being little Nazis. Everybody's got their own little control. And let me just. So I walk into the Babs and I want my biscuits and gravy, and it's sitting there. But the gal says, "No, I've got 10 more minutes." It's like, "No, just slap the gravy on the front of the biscuit and let me eat it. It's crap anyway." But no, people love being little Hitlers. That's why they're going along with this stupid mask thing. I don't know.
No,
but really, I will be the Boy Wonder if you don't lose the mask.
Okay,
anyway,
okay.
Ahead,
that's
what I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you're absolutely right. I remember years ago, not that many years ago, and I would do TV, right? And every so often we'd have to wander in and we'd do interviews in sort of like semi-public places. So we were at this downtown office building and we were there to talk to somebody in law enforcement, right? And some security guy comes up and he goes, "You can't set up your camera here." And I'm like, "Yes, we can. It's a public space, right?" Mm-hmm. And he says, "No, you can't." I'm like, "Yes, we can." And I was just like, what did he care, right? What on earth did he care? We weren't bothering him. Had nothing to do with him. And it's right. There are some people, you give them a little bit of power, you know, and those are the guys who sit out there in front of the Home Depots and say, "You can't go in," you know, but I like the lax people. I like the people who say, "Yeah, I don't care."
Yeah, what's that?
I'll tell you what, I would say to Home Depot business, you make me stand in. First off, you're in Home Depot on a regular day. You're 60 feet apart from everybody anyway.
Yeah,
right.
True. Good point.
I'm not coming back to your stupid store anyway. So, you know what? Maybe I don't do that home deal, whatever. But no, this stuff's ridiculous. And I was in New Mexico this last couple of days hauling, and it says everywhere, we are a cover state. You have to wear a mask in New Mexico. And there are a lot of people wearing them, but there's a lot of people that aren't wearing them. So it's kind of funny. You know, yeah, you have to wear it. But now I think people are fed up. And I like I said, these little dictators like you have at the health department, you guys are just, you're little bureaucrats. You've got little tiny pea brains. You're just pea heads. That's all you are. So piss off and leave us alone.
Exactly.
That's your problem.
All right, Barney.
Love you. Have a great weekend. Have a great weekend.
We got Casper Stockholm here. Wants to kind of chime in, I think.
Let's get bring Casper on first.
Casper, how you doing, Casper?
We might have caught you by surprise. Hey, there, unmute yourself. Casper, can you unmute yourself? There you go. Hey, thank you for your time today. First, let's get off the important stuff. How's the campaign going?
You know, I think it's going well. We're actually starting to get out there in the community, even though we have to be masked. So they don't even know it's me when I'm out there, right? No, I'm actually not wearing the mask on the campaign trail. So I'm not abiding by my my master's wishes to be masked in public. I'm going unmasked. Yeah.
Right. Well, speaking of master's wishes, one of the things and you know, want to talk to you about Joe Biden. So apparently you ain't black if you don't vote for Joe Biden. What do you think of that?
Oh my goodness. When I first heard it, I almost drove off the road. he is, I don't know how he's going to be able to pull this off, but I do know that they're already running cover for him. I've seen posts already from people saying, you know, he wasn't talking about all black people, just the guy he was talking to on the
what?
On the interview.
Wait a minute.
No, he was talking about all black people. He wasn't. Yeah. I mean, when you listen to the soundbite, he wasn't arguing with the guy, and
he was telling him.
He was just kind of made that comment. Where if people don't know what we're talking about, it's all over the place. So Joe Biden was doing an interview with a black radio station host today, and Joe Biden started laughing, and he said he had to get going. And the guy made a comment, oh, you're doing this because it's a minority station. He was joking, and Biden said, no, I do it for anybody. And then he said, but I'll tell you what, you ain't black if you vote for Trump. If you don't see the difference between Joe Biden and Trump, then you ain't black.
No,
and
not the difference. You ain't, if you'd rather vote for Trump than Biden, then you ain't black, which is similar to the one about his chain comment, his one about 7-Elevens and Pakistani clerks.
He has made many, many comments over the years. He is just riddled with comments that lead me to believe that he's about as racist as they come. I've already spoken out about it privately. I've spoken out about it publicly. I've already put out a statement on my campaign page. We're not going to drop this because this is typical Joe Biden. That's who he is.
And bigger than that, I think to a certain extent, that's who the Democrats are, right? They want to shame people and virtue signal. And it's like, if you don't, whether it's wear a mask, whether it's who you vote for, if you don't follow the rules that they've made up and you don't walk in their narrow lane, then there's something wrong with you and they want to shame you. And I mean, the notion that, I mean, I was on Babylon Bee had, if you don't let Joe sniff your hair, then you're not a woman. I mean, the notion that somehow or another, if you're a certain minority or a certain whatever, you have to vote a certain way no matter what. I mean, that's just insanity.
Yeah. All right.
So just today, President Trump said that all churches should be open this weekend for worship. So this is going to be an interesting fight. The mask is going to be another interesting fight here in the state. This Memorial Day weekend, so I'm going out unmasked. In fact, I may even leave the state, to go to a free state like South Dakota.
There you go.
Celebrate the holiday.
Exactly. Well, listen, we've got Patrick on, so we'll let you go. But tell folks again what you're running for, how they can help, and what kind of things, where they can find out more about you.
Absolutely. So I'm running for Congress. Running for U.S. Congress in CD7, which is Jefferson, Adams County area, running against Ed Perlmutter. We have a really good chance to take Ed out. We need support. We need volunteers, so we're ramping all that up. We're looking to get a van that we're going to wrap with campaign information and drive around in CD7 unmasked, so to make sure people know who's actually driving around in a district.
And that promoter, maybe he's not even campaigning. Everybody's wearing a mask. They get some guy about Ed's height, put a baseball cap on him, and send him out there. All right,
go to CasperForColorado.com. Casper, the word for, F-O-R, Colorado.com.
All right, sir. Thank you for your time. Good luck and stay in touch.
Take care.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye. All right, let's bring Patrick Neville on for his Minority Report. Patrick, good to have you on.
You there, Patrick?
Yep.
Hello? Oh, hey there. Mm-hmm. I all of a sudden thought, maybe you're
maybe he wasn't wearing a mask, or maybe he's planning to go to a church service in Colorado.
What have you been seeing all the stuff on the social media, Patrick? It sounds to me like dozens of restaurants are going to say, heck with you, dictator Polis, we're going to go ahead and open our restaurants up. Have you been hearing about that, seeing that?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah, and of course, I got all sorts of national media for showing up and buying a cup of coffee at one of them.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of churches are, too. I think there's a whole bunch of churches that are going to be opening up on the 31st and the 30th, I believe. So, people are
open up now. Trump said that, you have a right to do it.
Well, they got to gear up sometimes.
I have to gear up to praise God. Yeah.
What do you make of
that? I know, my church, for instance, they've been planning for quite a while doing this big parking lot service at the Douglas County Fairgrounds this weekend. And so since they already had plans and work and stuff, they're going to go forward with that. But they plan to open up on the 30th and 31st. And they do have to get some things, lined up, like what is the children's ministry look like? Are the volunteers going to be in place? You know, stuff like that.
Right.
So I'm happy they're opening up. You know, I think it makes sense. I think it's an anniversary of the Pentecost as well. So it makes a whole bunch of sense. And I think people are just getting fed up. And it's funny because you have folks out there, like, I know Kyle Clark saying, oh, it's only a small minority of people that want to open up. I'm not seeing that at all. You don't see these huge rallies.
Right.
Everything happens with a small minority. And I don't really trust the polling. I've seen polling that says quite the opposite, that it's a huge majority that's ready to open up.
I think a lot of people got a lot of joy this week when Cory Gardner said he wouldn't debate on Channel 9. And poor Kyle Clark
had a little hissy fit.
Yeah. And that just attracted the droves to attack him. You know, just, you don't matter anymore there, buddy. Nobody cares what you think. I mean, it was just wonderful to have him whine that Cory Gardner
was going to debate on other stations.
Other stations, not his, and not Channel 9.
Yeah, committed to like 5 other debates, but not that one. Yeah. I mean, he told me that. He's like, yeah, I don't talk to those guys. I'm like, I didn't. I guess, yeah, he literally doesn't. Not even on debates. So good for him.
What about this, Patrick? You know, we've been hearing a lot. I mean, I hope restaurants do open up. And I've been saying, I understand why they don't want to get a lot of publicity out there ahead of time. But as they do, I think we should all support them. But what, if anything, because you guys go back next week, can you guys do to try to help? The rules are just ridiculous. We had a guy on who said he has a pool table. For some reason, he can't play pool. I guess now tap rooms and breweries, for some reason, can't open. I mean, the rules are just ridiculous. And
I think
all
the only thing
we
can do is ask Donald Trump to say that pool is essential. It's an essential game for us to play.
I mean, how
it's crazy. I mean, they don't make any sense. Like, I mean, like you're saying, in the practical application, the only difference right now in Colorado between a brewery or a brew pub and a restaurant is the statutes that exist that make them different. In practical application, when it comes to safety measures or even serving their customers, they're the same. So there's no reason that you can't open up a brewery or a brew pub if you're going to open up restaurants.
But they just decided. Somebody said, well, that'll sound good. That'll sound like we're really on top of things. Yeah.
What about this?
Did somehow, like, after 10 o'clock, the coronavirus is more deadly, so they've got a curfew on it, too. I mean, it's ridiculous rules, and this is what happens when you have bureaucrats writing these out. And quite frankly, there's a lot of restaurants that are opening up without all this guidance. And I don't blame them, because there's really no reason not to.
Right.
If you follow this guidance, there's no assurance that you're not going to be, held harmless from any frivolous lawsuits. There's really no assurance at all. So
let me ask you this.
Go ahead and open up anyway. And what's happening is they're quickly losing the consent of the government.
Right. I mean, if they get overwhelmed. Let me ask you this. Is there any, I think the one group of people who are really happy about all of this, though, are the trial attorneys and their associations. Yay. You got businesses suing insurance companies.
Why don't you go to law school instead of getting your MBA?
Right. I mean, you've got businesses. I mean,
sue people.
Is there anything that is being talked about legislatively to try to essentially put some common sense in some of this so people don't have, I know, Chuck, you're the lawyer, so people don't have to be so fearful?
Well, that's what I keep telling the other side of the aisle, and we'll see if they bite. But if they truly wanted people to follow these guidelines, as ridiculous some of these guidelines are, if you truly wanted them to follow, at least put a carrot out there and say, if you follow these guidelines, you won't be frivolously sued.
Right.
And then you'd actually give us the businesses an incentive to sue. But right now, give the businesses an incentive to actually follow them. But right now, there is no incentive.
Right.
The only incentive is, well, we're going to throw you in jail and give you a large fine if you don't.
And how successful were you with the trial lawyers sitting in back of these people?
The trial lawyers were
hammering. Trial lawyers are gone. No, no, no.
No, no, we don't like that. What about this, Patrick? Did you see Jared Polis today? Well, he needs to free up law enforcement to arrest restaurant owners and restaurant goers. So he also issued another executive guidance, I guess it's called, saying that Colorado agencies will not cooperate in enforcing feds enforce immigration laws. Did you see that?
I didn't see it, but it's not surprising. I mean, this goes back to his hypocrisy. You know, gets out there on his high horse that we're all expected to follow all laws and enforce laws, yet he has a history of trying to break laws to make a point himself. And then here we are. I mean, this just goes, we had literally a guy who was let out of jail early for coronavirus is now on, you know, facing charges of murder. And so
but
we're letting
out,
people out of jail that are serious criminals.
Right.
And then you want to actually put in jail and actually spend law enforcement time to have people that are voluntarily opening restaurants and people are voluntarily going to them.
Right.
It's insane.
It is insane. Well, we just got a few more minutes. So next week you guys go back. What's looking like?
What will you do to us?
Yeah. What's on the agenda there?
Well, the biggest thing is going to be the budget, right? So the budget's got this $3.3 billion deficit of what we were expecting to have in, you know, basically puts us back at around 2016, 2017 levels of budget. So it's not the end of the world and doom and gloom like everyone says. It can be done. The difference is typically when we do a budget, there's probably like five or six bills that kind of, we call them orbital bills because they kind of surround the budget to help balance the budget. You know, we have to make changes in statute.
Okay.
This year, there's going to be about 50 or 60 of those.
Oh, good.
Some of those are
good.
Big ticket items. So some things that I'm looking at heavily at, like things like the homestead exemption. This is one of those ones that for if you're a senior and you bought your house for like $90,000 in the late 80s, and now you're paying these huge property tax assessments on $750,000 in the same house, it kind of helps you keep you in your own home. Well, it looks like the Democrats are going to be trying to gut that and take that away for next year.
Well, it makes sense because the governor, along with all other governors, seems to be trying to kill off everybody in nursing homes and everything
and
else.
So what do they need their homes for?
Well, you know, they're not going to be around here very much longer if we can kill them off.
And
so
if you get them out of their home into a nursing home,
kill them off quicker there.
Right, and they're keeping every other, you know, pet project. There was no changes made to full-day kindergarten. And quite frankly, if you looked at it, like if you were just to tell the departments, you know what, it takes about a percentage. Well, you know, that's about it, I think, is the numbers. We're somewhere around there. But a percentage less for all the rest of the departments, and we could actually maintain the senior homestead exemption. That's all it would take. And so they're saying, nope, that's too much. We can't do that. We're going to have to cut it. But meanwhile, full-day kindergarten, all their departments, you know, they don't take that 1% hit, all that. So, I mean, for me, that's a simple one that we should be fighting for. It just seems fair and right. And we have a most vulnerable population right now during the COVID crisis, and then we're going to basically stick it to them and balance the budget on their backs. That's not right.
Right. No, well, exactly. And I think, again, you know, hopefully, I don't know, there probably isn't very much you can do, but, you know, at least bring up, like I said, at least fight for trying to limit Polis's executive power so that, you know, if he's going to do this, if he's going to declare an emergency, he can't just keep declaring more and more longer and longer emergencies.
I love how all across the country, governors and everyone else, Democratic governors, are signed to adopt the Colorado model with mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting for all to keep us safe.
Yeah.
We're so much safer that way.
You know, meanwhile, too, while they're trying to shut down the Denver post office, you know.
I love that. Yeah, shut them down.
It's like, yeah, this is great, but let's try to shut down the post office. So stay at home, order your groceries, order your things, you know, have them delivered by the post office. We're going to do mail, and we're going to do ballots and voting by mail, but we need to shut down the post office.
You need to shut down the post office.
Well, you can just deliver them over to the Democratic headquarters.
Well, that's true, but that's what they're going to say. They're going to say, don't worry. We don't need to go to the post office anymore. You just need to drop your ballots off at the Democratic headquarters, and we'll get them to the right place.
We have to inspect that you filled it out correctly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, listen, Patrick, thank you for your time. Have a great Memorial Day weekend.
Best of luck to you.
All right. Thanks. You too, guys.
Okay, right, take care. Bye-bye.
And want to read from Debbie. I don't have sound or video on this computer, so I'm typing instead. And that works just fine, folks. If you want to type, go to chat and we can read it. I think businesses should post exactly what they're doing for safety so customers can see what to expect before they go in, and then they can decide to take the risk or not. You know, that's a good idea. And I think I've seen a lot of businesses, at least that I've seen and I've been to, are doing that indeed. They have signs on the doors sort of telling you what's expected. Online, you're seeing all kinds of stuff.
I want the store to say, we're not doing it.
I know. I think, though, that from my driving around today, for instance, yesterday I got stuck in a traffic jam coming back. Okay. I haven't been in a traffic jam in a long time on I-25. I do keep saying, though, we need to have an alert when the cops are going to start reinforcing the speed traps, though. We need to let us know about that. We need a five-day notice about that.
So you can kind of, I was going up the, HOV lane, right? And you know, I was just staying with another guy who's, I'm following the roads to travel. We were over 100. Whoa! Yo, I better.
People, it's been the wild west. Hey, so we're going to switch gears. We hope to get John O'Connor on the phone with us first. But, you know, Chuck, this is probably a good time to talk about Synagenix.
Yeah, it is a good time. It's always a good time to talk about Synagenix. And, you know, youth is a feeling. It's how do you feel? Do you feel old? I mean, you can be 40 and feel like hell. And there it is.
Because it's Chris Doty. Thank you, Chris Doty.
Yeah, just right there. Both men and women have a power to take control and actually manage their aging process. And it's true. The passion Julie McCallum and the people at Synergetics have is that they want to see their patients living healthfully and fulfilled lives. And you can, and there's no better time than today. You can get a free consultation.
You've done it, made a tremendous difference.
I've done it, and boy, it's been a lifesaver. And I think if just give them a call, it's 720-387-3681. 3681, 720-387-3681, or just go on their site, CENEGENICS, and they'll give you a free consultation. So you can't beat that. Go back to feeling young again. You'll be happy you did.
All right. Also, our other sponsor, ColoradoCitizenPress.com. And to the guys at BBS, if we could give John O'Connor a try right now, we can get him on. He was, we had him on our show several times when we were over at KNUS, so people may remember him if they listen. We've got him here already. But he was the attorney for Deep Throat in the Watergate. He's a commentator and author of Postgate. And we wanted to get him on today to talk about Obamagate.
Yeah. And John, great to have you back.
Well, it's great to be back, and this is certainly an exciting time with Obamagate, which I think is very real, by the way.
I do, too. So how did your book sales go and everything else? I was dying to ask you, because I thought it was a great book. And if people haven't read it yet, you have to read it.
It's Postgate.
Postgate. And it's a tremendous book, and you will not think of Watergate in the same way, I promise you, until you read Postgate. But how did the sales go? How did the interviews go and everything else?
Well, the interviews have been great, and we've got great reception from the people who've read it. It's like a guilty pleasure for the people in the elite East Coasty places who love it. But they're all afraid. The big networks are afraid of saying anything about it because the Post has really been on them. But so I have to basically, it's so juicy and such a real hit on the Post. I didn't start out intending it, but it turned out that way, and it's such a big hit on them that everybody's the big guys are afraid to do anything in talk radio. The in the local markets, the response has been amazing, and even I could name some names. I'm not going to. Some of the people with some of the big stations and newspapers have loved the book, and they've told us privately they can't say much about it because it's a killer. It kills.
Why don't you, John, bring folks up to speed on what the premise of the book is? Then I'd like to kind of what the book says, right? If people haven't read it yet, and then I'd like you to kind of tie it into Obamagate because
lots of parallels.
Yeah.
Well, there is. There are parallels in two ways. First of all, let's get into Watergate, and I'll tell you why this is Obamagate is much worse than Watergate. Watergate involved obstruction of justice, and as the Mueller report tells us 58 different ways, any tiny little bit of obstruction is obstruction of justice. Even if you attempt it, you don't really obstruct if you just endeavor to do this and that to try to stop the investigation. And they still, in spite of this very expansive standard, they couldn't prove it on Trump.
Let's go back to
Watergate. Nixon did obstruct the investigation in a very small way. He tried to hide one of his donors. So he instructed the CIA to give a false cover story to the FBI as to why they couldn't investigate the Mexican money trail.
Okay.
It really wouldn't have anything to do with his guilt or innocence on Watergate or his administration, but he's trying to protect the donor. But nonetheless, he was obstructing the investigation. Now, that was an attorney general / FBI investigation, as all law enforcement criminal investigations are. Nixon got driven out of office for that.
Huh.
Now let's go to the present. Now we have, on December 5, 2017, we have a meeting in the Oval Office in which the five big people, President, Vice President, Attorney General Sally Yates, Comey, head of the FBI, and Susan Rice, National Security Advisor.
And Brennan.
How and to what extent do we withhold national security, that is the intelligence investigation information from the incoming national security team?
Right.
Now, I said before about the Attorney General's investigation. a counterintelligence investigation is not really the Attorney General's investigation, even though he may work on it.
Right.
It is a presidential investigation.
Yes. Yes.
With his national security team. And that memo says it. The memo, the Susan Rice memo,
right,
is guilt, guilt, guilt for the people who cover up, because they distinguish, they tell in the memo, it says you have to tell the incoming national security team of this information. Now, what happens? In that memo, they are telling you, we're not, Comey is not going to hand over that information.
No.
Right.
No. But
yeah, he's going to keep Obama in the loop, though, even though he's not president anymore.
Well, but he didn't, so it's all Comey's fault. I mean, it's pretty, if it's a CYA for anybody, it's a CYA for Obama, who is constantly talking about doing things by the book, and that if there's anything changes, be sure to tell me, Comey, and you know, if there's something we need to do, anybody apparently didn't. So,
well, yes,
I think
let me argue with you a little bit on that, because they keep talking about by the book, but if you read the by the book as it's originally used, they're really saying that they're going to work by the book on the law enforcement side of this,
right? Not the counterintelligence,
the Attorney General side.
Right.
Then they say, but now then they start talking about the things they might not do by the book.
Yeah,
right.
That's
right. The way to read that. And so now, Obama, here's the thing. He's only guilty if he knows, if he does something that he knows will sort of spill over into Trump's investigation and others. He does anything presently that impedes Trump's investigation after January 20th, then maybe you could say he's criminally liable for this conspiracy.
Yeah.
And
well, hence the lines. I'm not instructing you. I'm not
right.
telling you. I'm not saying do anything or don't do anything. I'm not doing nothing.
Right.
I'm doing nothing.
Well, that's right. That's what I would say if I were a defense lawyer.
Yeah, right, right, so, right. Of course, I've been in charge of this ever since
day one. I'm the one who ordered it, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know.
And I know more about the Kislyak, you know, the emails and phone conversations.
Yeah, then the Attorney General knows. You know, I've been following all, and I've been unmasking all the people through McDonough. Just amazed. We're talking with John O'Connor, the attorney. He was a former assistant U.S. attorney in Northern California, along with our favorite special prosecutor, Mr. Mueller. he's written a tremendous book. If you haven't read it yet, you can get it on Amazon, I assume, and anywhere else. Postgate, gotta get it. You'll kind of go, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But one of the things that amazes me is that in a lot of ways, you look at Watergate, is that the FBI, through Deep Throat, is basically overthrowing a presidency, although people say that was the motivation or not, but basically by leaks and everything else. And that's what Obamagate is. I mean, there have been some great analysis of that, you know, for example, they want to get Flynn to feel secure and not have to worry about trying the FBI.
Well,
so
tricking him.
Well, they put it in the Washington Post the day before they give him. The FBI, he's been in a conversation, but they don't think anything wrong. It's fine. No problem, you know. So you can talk to the FBI. I mean, they constantly, you know, the Washington Post might as well be a wing of the Justice Department.
Under
and
Obama.
Now you're getting to my book, to tie into my book.
Yeah.
Okay.
In Watergate, the Post published everything it could that hurt Nixon.
Right.
Deep Throat's motive was not to hurt Nixon. It was to keep the investigation open. But interestingly, they used everything Deep Throat said that would go after Nixon, but they withheld publishing anything that Deep Throat said that helped Nixon, which is to say that he was the victim of a CIA. Does that sound familiar? CIA conspiracy,
right,
which I write about in the book. Now, fast forward to the present. The Post is now working hand in glove with Comey to try to get Flynn scared so that he'll lie on his statement and make it look like they, oh, there's this Logan Act that now they're going to prosecute. So Flynn then naturally probably hides what he's doing, whether he lied or not is an open question. Maybe did, maybe didn't. But the whole thing was planted by the Post. Nobody in their right mind is going to prosecute a Logan Act. But, you know, Flynn's worried about it. And so, but where I think everybody should focus on is the fact that once January 20th comes, Comey and McCabe cannot go talk to Flynn or to Trump or anybody in the White House while they are still concealing and withholding counterintelligence information. Huh. They are obstructing at noon on January 20th. They are obstructing justice when they are keeping their mouth shut. They are concealing information. And Sally Yates in Barr's recent filing shows it, because Sally Yates said, oh, you got to tell him. You got to tell him about the call. You got to tell him about this. You got to tell him about that.
No,
Comey doesn't do it. No. So Sally Yates actually turns out to be a heck of a witness for the prosecution of McCabe and Comey.
Right.
They know better. And if they got criminal intent, this is not just a mistake. It's not an, oh, gosh, I'm sorry. Gee, did I obstruct? No. They had a meeting in the Oval Office about this. And then later on, Sally Yates bugs Comey about saying something, and they don't say anything. So it is more than simply an unethical prosecution of Flynn. He's just the guy running the investigation, and the Rice memo says it.
Right.
That's who's running it. And so it's a terrible, terrible injustice. Now,
let's did you see a couple hours ago, Ray announced that they're going to look into
the FBI.
FBI's conduct with regard to Ray. He kind of like, no, you really? Oh, wow. That's great. You've only been in office 3 years.
Yeah.
And now you're going to see whether
anybody
did anything.
Wrong.
And of course, anybody who's not in the FBI
they
right now, they have
about.
No. They have no way of doing it, but they're going to have an internal review.
I thought they already did all that. Did they
no,
already?
No, it's totally different. They're really going to look deep. And they're going to find out that everybody who's guilty has already left, so there's no problem. Hooray!
Well, you just picked out something. Why are they looking at it now? Why is he saying that? Because finally there's a little bit of publicity about this.
Right.
And if there would have been publicity at the right times, we never would have had, of course, the Russiagate investigation. It never would have flown.
Right.
So my point in Postgate is that the journalists can either, the mainstream media can either sink a president as they did with Nixon, or they can protect one as they've been doing with Obama, and now they're going back trying to get Trump. And I hope we all can see through this, and thank God for talk radio. Thank God for the smaller, for the radio stations around, and you know, Rush Limbaugh and you guys and the good people around the country that are keeping this thing alive, because you're not going to get it from
CNN. No, you're not going to get it. Well, have you been enjoying, and I must admit I have been enjoying, all the conniptions and strategies and the legal wrangling in Judge Emmett Sullivan's courtroom on what to do with Mr. Flynn, and whether his charges ought to be dropped or whether he should hire his own prosecutor as a former
judge. As judges do, just get your own prosecutor,
that
you've got.
And then find it. Yeah, just amazing.
What do you make of all that?
Well, I make that, of course, the judge doesn't want to dismiss the case. There's very limited authority for him to do that. Other cases have just shot down a judge who's tried to do it. Normally, the only time you shoot down a withdrawal of a plea is when it's going to hurt the defendant. That is to say, when the prosecution is withdrawing just so it can pile more charges on after making a sweet deal with the guy. This is just the opposite. Now, both the government and the defendant are all in favor of this. And I think he has very little discretion to do it. That's why he's hiring another judge, asking for $4,000 amicus briefs. Somebody tell me how I could do this.
Hey, Lawfare, can you just call us?
Well, that's Lawfare has come up.
They keep putting these posts, and if we were Judge Sullivan, this is what
here's
we
what
would
you
do.
Ought to do. And they're very good. There's a lot of really bright guys in Lawfare, and totally crooked. And they just give the best why you know, it's distinguishable. You know, this is totally different, because this is in the sentencing phase as opposed to a plea bargain earlier.
And it's Tuesday anyway.
And it's Tuesday, and Focker is spelled with an F. And I mean, but they you know, and they've got this group called the Democracy Protection Project, which has like 1,000 former federal prosecutors, and they're writing away. I mean, they're going, oh, no, this is the judge is not a potted plant. He must look deeply, whether it's political corruption.
Where do you see that going, John?
Well, I see, unfortunately, I think Sullivan is looking for a way to not agree with the government here, and I think that's what he's going to do. If I had to predict, if I had to put my money on it, that's what I'd say. Now, do I think he's wrong? Yes. And it's a crapshoot as to whether or not he's going to get overturned, frankly, because there is sort of a sense, in spite of the strong rulings, one of them from the D.C. Court of Appeals, right, was a very liberal judge, Sri Srinivasan, who shot down a judge who tried to do this before. But yes, remember, anything having to do with Trump has its own rules. So
that's a good point.
What may be sauce for the goose isn't sauce.
That's a very good point.
The one positive thing, you know, the writ of mandamus went up to the D.C. Circuit, and they got a panel which includes George H.W. Bush judge and a Trump judge, as well as one Obama one. And I know there are no Trump judges or Obama judges, as Roberts has told us, but that's a good,
but just coincidentally,
that's a good panel for him, in that they demanded that Judge Sullivan personally reply, that he has 10 days. And they didn't say you can have, you know, an amicus apply for you, which is allowed under the rules. They said, no, you tell us in 10 days about why the Fokker case doesn't apply. And so I think he's, if you're Sullivan, you're sweating a little bit right now.
Well, I think what Powell has done, Sidney Powell has done so well, yeah, is she's put it right to the guy. And I think, right, he should be embarrassed. I don't know if he is, because he's probably surrounded by sycophants. But yes, but he should be, and the eyes of history will not judge him well. And I think the drama for all of us out here in the world, seeing what's happening every day, is proof of how partisan and biased the world is.
Yeah.
Now,
I never thought I'd see the day when hydroxychloroquine would be politicized. But it is. Apparently, it's a political drug.
And I think, I'm sure reporters hate it because it's hard to pronounce, right? Like, couldn't it get an easier to pronounce? Let me back you up back to the Obamagate. Do you think, I think earlier Barr has said he says things might be outrageous, but that doesn't mean they're criminal. And no, he doesn't anticipate anything happening to Obama or Biden. Do you see any charges ever coming out of all the Obamagate stuff that we're learning?
Well, in a word, no. Although I will say this, when Barr said that, it was qualified. What he really was saying, I don't see anything right now, and I'm not going to do this just on a political basis. I'm not looking just to go get the other side. So his statement was very fair and reasoned. Mm-hmm. It doesn't rule out going after Obama or Biden. However, that said, I think Chuck said it earlier, there's a built-in defense to this obstruction thing. I think everybody in that meeting coming out on January 5th, if you were to ask them and put them on a lie detector test, they'd say, we know Comey's going to obstruct. Yeah. You know, do you count that as anything that helps Comey do that or doesn't stop him? You can say it's obstruction. You can say it's obstruction because Obama didn't order him to. All right, Comey, march over there now and tell him all the information. I want to make sure my hands aren't dirty. That said, he and Biden can skate on this. And who knows, did Susan Rice, what did she have to do with this? But anything up to January 20th is probably, legal. And then the question is, how much does it spill over past January 20? And luckily, Comey and McCabe, who I think are both snakes, they've got themselves in a hot one here. So that's good enough for me. I think it's important to tell the story about Obama. I think poor Joe, I wouldn't convict Joe of anything because I don't think he has the mental capacity.
No, he's non-compos mentis.
That's true. That would be
Couldn't we indict Sally Yates? I think she's the most guilty one of them all.
Well,
she looks so pompous and full of herself that,
well,
a 10-year stretch in a nice prison in Arizona would be great.
What about the leaking to the Post, though?
They'd have to prove.
I guess that's a good point. Yeah.
Well, bingo. But listen to this now. Let's go back to a Comey special, which is the Scooter Libby case. And in the Scooter Libby case, Comey taught everybody how to get around these shield laws for reporters. It's a criminal investigation of a leak. You now have subpoena power over these reporters, and you can haul them in if you are determined enough and make them give up their sources. So just like in a plane gate, so to speak, you can bring in David Ignatius and whoever else it is from the Post, and you can say, okay, who leaked? This is classified information. When you're now talking about calls between a national security advisor and an ambassador to Russia, there's no more heavy national security than that. So whoever leaked those calls, and there may be more than one leaker, that's a jail sentence. And I hope Barr does an investigation and gets heavy with that, hauls somebody into the grand jury, because that's the other place other than the obstruction. I'm seeing the obstruction happening with Comey and McCabe. Sally Yates looks clean on that because she's actually telling Comey not to do it. Right. So as much as she's a partisan, she's not guilty. I mean, I almost almost say two cheers for Sally Yates.
Oh, no, don't do that. Please don't.
Okay, one cheer.
One cheer.
But I got to give her, she's better than Comey. But then you got this leak investigation. And so I hope, in addition to the FISA stuff, they use this right now, because no greater injustice has been had than knocking out Trump's national security advisor from the get-go. And you know why they did it? And of course, I think you know this, but for your listeners, they did it because the one guy that was going to see right through the Russian collusion investigation was this guy. As soon as he got the details, he was going to say, wait a second, this is phony, that's phony, this is phony, you guys are making this up. And instead, Trump gets H.R. McMaster, who is, I'm sure, a fine guy. And
He's not a fine guy.
Yeah, he's writing 50-page things with a lot of footnotes and doesn't know up from down. And Flynn is a completely different cat, and he would have ripped that Russian collusion thing to bits. So they got him before he got them.
No, I think you're right. And then they get rid of Jeff Sessions. They very effectively initially got rid of anybody who might be able to stop the vice president to do their dirty
their dirty thing. Oh, I lied to me. He must be fired. And then they get Sessions. They go, oh, I've got to recuse myself. Oh, okay. I mean, the success they had, and which would normally you think would be pretty long odds, is pretty amazing in its own way.
Well, you know how they did it. It gets back to the our great topic, the media. The media trampled Trump and Pence into firing Flynn. And you know, Obama's going over there, Yates is going over there. Oh, you got to fire Flynn. You got to fire Flynn. And they trampled him. Meanwhile, I think Trump should rue the day that he kicked old Chris Christie to the curb, because Christie never would have done what Sessions did. And then, of course, Sessions has got this guy Rod Rosenstein that he thinks is going to help him, and he's just a Obama light guy, and he's there. And so look what they did. They essentially had a coup right there. They got rid of Flynn. They had Rosenstein running the investigation, laterals it to Mueller. 20 Democrats come on, and all of a sudden Trump has been infiltrated by surrounded by partisan Democrats.
Totally.
No, exactly. Totally. And I think if it hadn't been for Trump being the kind of guy that he is,
crazy,
it might have been successful. Yeah. And again, and just, it was so outrageous. Well, John, listen, let us ask you one more time. Chuck has read the book. He says it's great. Where can people get your book, find out more about you?
Well, I'd love people to go on my site, postgatebook.com.
Okay.
Okay.
And look at and look at the reviews and the summaries of the book, and also some of my other op-eds to talk about some of the stuff we're talking about today. And the reason I say that is because then my book ties into all of that. In fact, some of the op-eds I write, because what you and I are talking about today all ties in with the press. And remember what Obama says: I had a scandal-free administration. Guess why? the press is in the tank. Even Bob Woodward said it in the election, that the press was in the tank for Obama, and it stayed that way. So we cannot have a democracy if we don't have a free and unfettered press.
And we don't have one.
It's free and unfettered, but it's just completely biased, right? It's completely biased. It's like, I'm free to be bought. So, all right, John, thank you for your time.
It's
and thank
so
you
great
for
to
the
talk
comments.
To you again, John.
Great. You guys are great. Keep up the good work. Keep the fight going.
All right.
You too.
We
thank
will.
You, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
See you now.
All right, thank you. John O'Connor, go ahead and go to, he said postgatebook.com is where we want you to go. Couple of things too. We've got some texts from folks. I want to point out somebody named, so I make, this is not fake news, but I have not verified this. Andy says that Andy will be collecting signatures for the due date too late at Water's Edge Winery tonight from 5 to 7. I know listeners know where that is. Yeah, the due date too late folks are up against the wall trying to get.
They don't have the governor's okay.
No,
what a crook.
Exactly. They don't, the governor didn't say, if you're a progressive agenda initiative, then you can, you don't even have to get signatures to be on the ballot. But if you're a conservative idea, if you're, you know, opposed to abortion, minor things like that, then you have to follow all the rules and we'll go have sheriff's officers.
And one of the people on our
you.
Zoom is our friend Karen Kedling, who had a great interview with Alan Dershowitz. Karen, why don't you come on
real quick and tell folks if you want to.
Well, we got a little time. Come on, Karen. Tell
us. Well, hi there.
Where can people find
you? To say thank you. What?
I'm just going to say, tell folks real quick about the interview and where can they hear it.
I just posted it on Facebook on my website.
Perfect.
In 1 hour, I had Alan Dershowitz and Victor Davis Hanson.
Wow.
Oh my goodness! And then today on Spouting,
and you ripped Dershowitz a new one. You just crushed him.
I don't think he's going to want to come on again. And
I don't think so.
And he threatened to hang up. He said, "You're going to lose me. You're going to lose me."
You have one more good argument and you're going to lose me.
Yeah. He had a terrible argument. And by the way, guess who I had on my show on Spouting Off today? Because great minds think alike.
Who's that?
John O'Connor.
All right.
We talked about something different. We talked about... what did we talk about? We talked about the coronavirus and AG Barr going after states for overstepping their bounds. So
I love John.
He was a great host. Yeah. And thank you guys so much for your support.
You bet.
You are wonderful, and I am a fan of you both.
All right. So tell folks where to go.
Oh, yeah. KarenKataline.com. KaRen. It's KataLine. I have a whole bunch of podcasts. That was for the Ellen Nathan Show, on which both of you have been guests of mine.
All right.
Yes, it was fun.
All right. Thank you.
Karen.
Good job. Good get there.
Thank you.
All right. And folks need to know, I mean, that says a great deal about the quality of Karen's interviews and shows. These are not easy guests to get. And the fact that she got them says quite a bit about her. Hey, I want to say thank you to everybody. Thank you to Pat Neville. Thank you to John O'Connor. Thank you to Casper Stockham. You know, we're going to be doing, because we do it from our basement. No, I mean, so it's not that complicated.
Our world subterranean headquarters.
And the helicopter flies us in and then we come downstairs. It's kind of like Bono. Before
or
a concert.
Trump,
yeah. But anyway, we'd be doing the show on Memorial Day on Monday. So if you've got a second, we'd love to have you join us on that show. But you can catch all of our podcasts at chuckandjulie.com. If you haven't already, we sure appreciate it if you subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's a little icon that you can just go up to that. And please go ahead and make sure you check in at coloradocitizenpress.com.
Yeah, they got a great articles every day. It's something you want to read and go through. They got the El Paso County commissioners mandating you give a name if you go into the restaurant. It's just stories you just don't want to miss. And of course, Synagenics, you can grow younger, or you can feel a heck of a lot younger with the help of Synagenics. So give them a call at, I think I should memorize
720-387-3681. All right. Thank you to Chris. Chris Oney is our field producer out there. And otherwise, everybody, thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend, and we will see you on Monday.